Recycled Barbie auction is also online. The Trash and Fashion event season culminates on April 26th with the Trash Bash, a post-wrap-up free celebration party. All the runway outfits will be on display, winners and outs, food, and much more. The Trash and Fashion Runway Show, once again, is reserved seating and annual sellout event, so please visit trashandfashionsonoma.org or call 707-938-4626.
The following show is brought to you in part by
TBE Architecture, license number C35917, works throughout the region with businesses, homeowners, contractors, and municipal entities to provide the services needed to plan, design, develop, construct, and maintain projects that contribute to the quality of the built environment. For more information, TBEARCH.com or call 707-934-1000.
Sonoma Splash, Sonoma's community pool located at the high school, offering recreational swimming, fitness classes, lap swimming, and swim lessons year-round in our heated pools. Check us out at sonomasplash.org. Financial assistance is available.
Days like this don't get much better. Top down, good fam, good weather. Days like this we don't miss never. Yeah, yeah. Last night things got a little bit crazy. Pulled up doing about 180. Life goes fast, so there ain't no maybes. Yeah, yeah. Just give me that sunset, give me that ride. Give me them stars out, four-wheel drive. Taking that back road, yeah, no lie. Man, that sure feels nice. Give me them real ones, ones I know. Do a little two-step, do-si-do. Turn it up loud, bring in that crowd. Take it up high, then drop it low. We do this everywhere we go. I think you know this ain't no one-horse rodeo. I think you know when we pull up, green lights our show. I think you know that we gon' run it, run it, run it till we run in our road. Oh, yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Finish Line Moments here on Tuesday, March 25th. At 4 p.m. Pacific, here in Sonoma. You might be wondering, whose voice is that? Well, this is what happens when it's been 80 degrees for a couple of days in Sonoma. Everything blooms, including my nose. And so this is what we get to deal with today. I can't stand the sound of it in my own ears, and God bless live radio, because I will be hearing every nuanced note of my voice in these headphones. So here we go. But, you know, it actually is perfectly all tied together because it is still March, which is meaning it's still Autoimmune Disease Awareness Month. And one of the things that Benaroya Research Institute studies is, in fact, allergies. And, in fact, I also have asthma from a repercussion of one of my autoimmune diseases. And so they also study asthma. And so I just feel like I'm part of the theme today of this month that we have been celebrating the advancement in innovative research, as well as the education and advocacy for people living with autoimmune diseases. And so we have another special guest today here on Finish Line Moments, and it really couldn't be a more perfect ending, and I really hesitate to use that word, but it couldn't be a more fitting a way to close out this month. How about that? Other than to have someone who is so parallel to and near and dear to my heart of a woman who has autoimmune diseases and is also a runner. And that's actually how we met. So as you all know, who have been joining us, and we are excited that you're here for Finish Line Moments. And for those of you who are just joining us here on KSVY 91.3, Sonoma's Voice of the Valley, which, by the way, side note, next week, next Tuesday, April 1, is the 21st birthday of KSVY here in Sonoma. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But here we are at Finish Line Moments on 91.3. And it's the idea of finding that finish line feeling throughout moments in your day-to-day life. Like, crossing a literal finish line is obvious, but Finish Line Moment might be the day that you decide to practice self-care due to overdoing it. Or when you received a clear diagnosis because you advocated for yourself. Or completing a training run on the day you didn't think you had it in you. It's simply a reframe of what we already see as wins or things to be grateful for along the way. And that is especially important in the wellness and health community. So my guest today is Debbie Parrott. 2 years ago, she was diagnosed with a rare autoimmune blistering disease and began treatment. Amidst her journey to heal, she has learned about, oh God, I love this phrase. I can't wait to talk more about it. Hypernourishment, managing stress with meditation. Managing, easy for me to say. God, there are so many layers to that. And being intentional with her time. Finding joy through singing, relaxing in the harbor. We'll tell you where she lives in a minute, where that harbor is. And being inspired by her 11th grade students. Love that you are a teacher, Debbie. And these have all been sources of strength for her. Navigating her illness has led her to an active approach toward physical wellness and understanding its connection to mental health, as well as discovering movement's ability to help manage anxiety. Just a year ago, she began running 5K races as a personal challenge to see what her body was capable. Wow, can I relate to that? I love that. She just finished her 7th 5K and placed 3rd in her age group in one of them. Her positive attitude, despite the challenges she has faced, has also led her to receiving an honorary service award from her school's PTSA. And so, Debbie, I have a question for you. Your diagnosis journey is quite remarkable. I want to start with that. Can you walk us through the process of discovering your autoimmune condition? Like, how did you advocate for yourself, and what was it like to finally get a diagnosis?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. My journey started on the December 2 years ago of me starting to have some weird symptoms. I had some sores in my gum area in my mouth, and it almost looked like my gums were not adhering to my teeth. It sounds really bizarre, but that's what it kind of looked like. I asked my dentist about it. He really didn't know what it was, thought it was maybe something that a mouthwash could treat. No one I talked to really had any idea of what it could be. So I started doing some research online as it continued and started kind of happening in different parts of my gum area. And was actually quite painful because, as you can imagine, kind of exposed nerves in your gums.
Ouch.
If you're having citrus or anything that's kind of got vinegar, all of those things would like sting and, you know, really hurt, even like lemonade.
Ow.
So I started kind of doing my own research, and based on the symptoms that I was having and the things that I found online, kind of narrowed it down to 3 possible things I thought it could be. And all 3 of those things were autoimmune blistering diseases. So in that journey, I found this specialist online, Dr. Sergey Grando out of UCI, and he specialized in all of those autoimmune blistering. All of the possibilities were kind of under his specialty umbrella. So it took a little while to see him because he's quite popular. But when I did, he was very systematic in his approach and explained that we would be doing antibodies tests. If those were negative, we would do a biopsy. And if that was negative, then it could be the thing that I actually thought it was, because it's a disease of exclusion.
Mm.
It didn't turn out to be that thing that I thought it probably was out of the 3, but right away I had antibody tests come up as positive,
mm-hmm.
which I can't tell you, I was excited just to have an answer.
Right, absolutely.
And to be honest with you, the speed with which I had that answer, it didn't seem quick to me at the time, but now knowing what I know, most people go through years
mm-hmm.
where they're actually able to figure out what is actually going on. So I feel very fortunate that it was probably only, it was less than 4 months total from my onset of my symptoms to when I actually got my diagnosis.
You're right. That is unique in the autoimmune world. When Dr. Jane Buckner was on a couple of weeks ago, you know, we talked a little bit about that there is this, you know, there's this frustration just in the diagnosis journey, right? Because you're having to advocate for yourself. You're having to do your own research. You're having to almost prove yourself to doctors until you find those doctors that say, yes, we hear you. We believe you. We're going to continue to do the test. And even when you find that, it can still take a long time because I don't know what the percentage is, but you just stated, you know, diagnosis through exclusion. And there's actually quite a few autoimmune diseases. One of the ones that I have, it took, you know, I was 8 days in a hospital with every department. I used to say every ology came and saw me multiple times, and then ended up seeing it on that show House many, many times as like, we don't know what it is, but we're going to throw this one on the list, right? So there is this there's a frustration in the autoimmunity community, where it's just like, how do I get these answers? And so, you know, how did you have the knowledge to navigate the healthcare system?
Oh gosh. I mean, I think, like I said, I did some of my own research and I was fortunate to find, look, I'll tell you right now, the biggest thing is if you are near a university research program, because these specialists that really know about autoimmune diseases and are kind of on the cutting edge of treatment, like my doctor is, are also in research, doing their own research, they're teaching, they spend part of the time in clinic. And I feel very fortunate to be close to a school, you know, with a doctor like that, because a lot of the people that I know in some of my groups online, if they are not nearby a major city, they really struggle to find someone who is a specialist and has done that research.
Sure.
And many doctors just kind of put them on steroids, take them off steroids, but there's not a comprehensive plan.
Right.
Whereas my doctor, even though it was overwhelming at the beginning, had a really solid plan, a solid approach. He explained every step of it to me and it has been working.
Right.
So, I mean, I just have to feel fortunate that I have access to that, because not everybody does. And also access to insurance,
right?
Which is a huge, you know, I get infusions as part of my treatment. Mm-hmm. And those IVIG infusions, which really help to reduce the bad antibodies I have by kind of flooding them with more of a mixture of other people's antibodies. Mm-hmm. I could not possibly afford those without insurance.
Right.
And that has been important. My journey.
That's a whole nother episode. you know, and you also said, you know, I'm excited to have an answer. I think also a lot of people feel that way. I know Audrey Fisher, who was the first guest in this series, you know, she stated something similar. You know, it was a relief to get an answer, even though it's a difficult thing to hear, diagnosed with, in her case, multiple sclerosis. You know, there, and I distinctly remember that they had, you know, narrowed it down with one of them, narrowed it down between, you know, basically the lesser of two evils. And that is what it turned out to be. And I went into those final tests with, like, I'm okay with either one. Like, even if one of it's terminal, I just want the answer. Because like you said, then you can do something. Once you have an answer, then it's like, okay, now we can treat this. Now we can manage this. And when you think about, like, your day-to-day life and working with this doctor, how did you incorporate your treatment and management?
Well, so I was diagnosed basically with mucous membrane pemphigoid. And I tested positive for three antibodies. One was mucous membrane pemphigoid. One was bullous pemphigoid.
I don't feel so bad if even you.
And one was linear IgA. And these are extremely rare autoimmune diseases that you know, impact like less than 5,000 people.
There's over 110 of them now. There's going to be some rare ones. Yeah.
So basically, his approach at the beginning was high dose steroids, as well as doxycycline, which I'm still on. The steroids tapered back over time, and they were kind of there to get things under control as my immune suppressant CellCept was kind of doing its work. It takes about, in my opinion, about 3 months for it to really slow things down. Mm-hmm. So that kind of closed the gap between those two things. I'm also on niacinamide, and I am also on these IVIG infusions, which up until a few months ago were 5 days in a row, every 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I talk about those infusions. Each infusion takes about 3 hours and 15 minutes and 5 days in a row.
Wow.
So when he
first told me, it's a time commitment.
5 days spread throughout the month. No, it's 5 days in a row.
Yep.
Every 4 weeks. And so I'm very fortunate that I teach zero period and can leave after fifth period on those weeks. And I'm able to get this infusion in my home because the healthcare program that does the infusions actually comes to my home. That's amazing. And works with me after, you know, I've come home from work. And basically you're really tired during it and after it. Mm-hmm. So I just know that those weeks I'm not going to get grading done after my infusions.
Sure.
But I've been fortunate to feel good enough
that
I didn't have to take time off from work and have been able to work through all of it. And you just don't know because not everybody's like that.
Right.
And everybody's symptoms, you know, the degree of them is different, you know, and to what degree they dissipate and how quickly they dissipate with treatment really varies. But I've been really fortunate to be able to kind of balance my treatment. Mm. Luckily, starting in August, well, let me back up a tiny bit. Basically, the mucous membrane pemphigoid part kind of seemed to be getting under control. And then all of a sudden, in April of last year, I started having symptoms that were more like bullous pemphigoid, which were kind of rashes on my body. And that happened for a few months. And I was kind of telling my doctor about it. And at first, he's like, well, it might be, you know, dermatitis. And I kept saying, no, I really think that this is related to the disease somehow. I don't think it's an isolated thing. And eventually he saw some of the other spots and I was like, are these flea bites? But then they turned into maybe a rash. And he said, no, those are not flea bites. Mm. Looked back at my report and sure enough was like, oh yeah, you also have that bullous pemphigoid antibody. We're going to switch a med. At that point in August, so it took from about April to, you know, sometime in mid-April to August. And I had actually started skipping infusions one time, but then I started having these rashes and I wasn't, you know, flare, you know, symptom free. Mm. Switched a med, took me off of the Cellcept and put me on something called Dupixent. That is a monoclonal antibody. It basically latches onto the antibody and kind of blocks it.
Okay.
So since I started that in mid-August, I have been completely symptom free. That absolutely was kind of the turning point for me.
Sure.
And so I have skipped now a month and I have been fine and I get to skip next month. So now I'm going to every other month infusions.
Okay.
And then after July, I will go to every 3 months. And in January, I will be done with infusions.
Oh my goodness.
The treatment will have to be tapered back over a little bit longer time, but sure. Yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, obviously you will always be vigilant, right, to manage this and, you know, going into remission is not a guarantee that it sticks forever. And it is something, you know, I use the word vigilant, you know, when you have an autoimmune disease, you are always watching, you're always paying attention. And I know we'll talk more about this, but, you know, when you and I were chatting to get ready for this, you know, we were talking about like, there's this balance of, you know, watching and managing and how far do you push? How much do you let go? Do you have a light touch? You know, how do you manage all of this while also wanting to live a full life and do all of these things? And so not surprisingly, I knew that this would happen is one of the things we're going to do when we come back from the break is we're going to talk about the transition from this diagnosis journey to Debbie lacing up a pair of running shoes and how she incorporated that into her day-to-day life and kind of where that spark first came from. But, you know, it is something to think about if you are out there and you're facing a diagnosis right now. Again, we've said this before, I'll say it again, you are not alone. There are many of us who've been through it. Do not be afraid to ask for questions, advocate for yourself. And if you're facing management and treatment right now, again, you're not alone. It is unique to each person. I know Debbie and I can both talk about that. What works for one person won't necessarily work for another. But the idea is to be part of this community and keep asking questions and keep advocating for yourself. So go grab a snack, come back. We're going to talk running after this.
You have been listening to Finish Line Moments with your host, Gretchen. The following show is brought to you in part by
TBE Architecture, license number C35917. For information, TBEARCH.com or call 934-1000.
Sonoma Splash. Check us out at sonomasplash.org.
KSBY Sonoma 91.3 FM is thrilled to invite the entire community to celebrate 21 years of independent, volunteer-driven, and community-focused radio with an all-day Vibe and Thrive 2025. It's a community happening Tuesday, April 1st. This milestone coincides with Community Radio Day in Sonoma Valley, making it a true celebration of local voices, music, and public service broadcasting. listening. KSVY's Vibe and Thrive 2025 Open House will welcome listeners, supporters, and newcomers alike to visit the station throughout the day to meet the hosts, experience live broadcasts, enjoy food and drink, and be a part of the thriving KSVY community. With a lineup throughout the day on the radio of special programming, guest interviews, live music, DJ sets, and the Bedazzler Broadcaster Awards. The celebration will showcase the diverse and essential role of community radio in Sonoma Valley and beyond. Whether you drop by in person or tune in to 91.3 FM or stream at ksby.org, Vibe and Thrive 2025 promises to be a dynamic celebration of independent radio and the people who make it possible. And keep listening to KSPY for more Vibe and Thrive 2025.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by the Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. SchoenGroup.com. This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
Learning to flip your thoughts can have a profound impact on your health and well-being. The simplest way is through a positive affirmation that flips the thought from a negative to a positive. For example, when faced with chores, instead of saying, "I don't want to clean the house," say, "I like living in a clean house." When getting up the motivation to exercise, instead of saying, "I'm too tired to exercise today," say, "I feel more alert and energetic when I exercise." Positive affirmations help us change our negative attitudes into positive ones.
Step back through time in the Sonoma Community Center's Gallery 212, a collection of 60 historical drawings from local artist Barbara White Perry is currently on display in Gallery 212 at the Sonoma Community Center. The exhibit is called Drawing Sonoma. It's open daily, Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Perry's exhibit, Drawing Sonoma, houses 60 framed matted illustrations on display, and each print is hand-touched by the artist. The public is invited to a closing reception in the gallery on Thursday, March 27th from 5 to 7 p.m., where the artist will be present and light refreshments will be served. Open daily at the Sonoma Community Center. For more information, visit sonomacommunitycenter.org/Barbara White Perry.
And now back to Gretchen and Finish Line Moments.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. You are listening to Finish Line Moments on KSVY 91.3, soon to be 21 years old, Sonoma's Voice of the Valley. And we are talking with my friend Debbie Parrott, who in our last segment was sharing a bit about her diagnosis journey to an autoimmune condition that kind of came out of nowhere, like a lot of them do. She was able to get a fairly... in the scope of autoimmune disease diagnosis, she was able to get a fairly, quote, quick diagnosis and started treatment. And she's in a good place. And speaking of being in a good place, you know, this started a couple of years ago for her. And about a year ago, she decided to take up running. Sound familiar? She and I are parallel. We were meant to meet. And so I'm really curious, like, where did you first get the idea to start running? Was it something that you thought you would ever do, or was it kind of sparked unexpectedly as part of this healing journey?
Well, it's funny because if you would have told me, like, in high school that I would have been doing
hold on
this.
A second. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, there you are. Awesome. Live radio, everybody. This is what we do. It's like running. It's like
real life.
Right? It's real life. It's like running a 5K. And, you know, at mile two, you're like, well, I wasn't expecting to, you know, get an ankle wobble, but here we go. And then we just regroup. So you were saying, my dear.
So, yeah, I was saying, if you would have told me in high school that I would have been running 5Ks at this point in my life, I would never have believed you because I didn't particularly enjoy running in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely didn't see myself as a runner. And honestly, it's kind of been hard for me to even call myself a runner in this last year. But I guess I'm getting more comfortable with it. What actually happened is a colleague of mine, who's like one of my closest friends at work, she's my AP partner. We teach all the AP Lang courses at my school. She had started incorporating running into her workouts. And we were kind of used to being accountability buddies for each other. We would send each other like our, you know, our stats of our monthly workouts to kind of keep each other motivated.
Nice.
And we kind of decided to start putting some running into her strength workouts because she does really intense strength workouts and circuits and things like that. And so that in itself sort of inspired me, like, hey, maybe I should try doing some of that. So it really just started with me running about 30 minutes once a week. That's
amazing.
It. And just getting to a point where I could like run that whole time, even if it wasn't fast.
Right.
And that kind of turned into, hey, maybe I could do a 5K. That's a goal. That's something to work towards. And a way of me just kind of seeing that despite the challenges I was still facing and kind of not knowing exactly how the journey was going to go, when I was going to stop having symptoms and all of those things, that I could still do, you know, strong things with my body and kind of to myself that I was still strong and healthy despite this challenge. And so I ran my first 5K, which was actually the Seal Beach 5K.
Nice.
And that was super fun, but that is a very popular race. And so I was kind of, you know, dodging around people. Not that I was fast, but, you know, I wasn't far back behind the walkers is what it was.
Sure.
And so I'm kind of trying to get around them, but it was absolutely so fun to do. And so then I just kind of started signing up for 5Ks. I did this Bolsa Chica 5K that I'm about to do again, which is put on by the Friends of Bolsa Chica, which is close to where I live and supports, you know, kind of protecting the wetlands, which I love and they're beautiful. And then Surf City 10 was my next race, which is one of the Golden State races.
Yes, the Golden State Challenge that everybody knows we chat about a lot on this show. And so the Surf City 10, it takes place in Huntington Beach down in September. There's a 10-mile, a 10K, and a 5K. So you did the 5K last September.
And that's how I actually think I even heard about the Golden State Challenge at first. I saw like a booth and I was like, oh, that's interesting.
I'm sure I was
there.
I didn't
really know a lot about it.
We probably actually met there.
And so I was like, oh, this sounds really interesting, but I didn't really know a lot about it yet. And for some reason, I didn't think that there were enough races close to me that I could do four. Mm-hmm. Well, I was wrong, which I found out later.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually did this Pirate 5K. So Karen Ware has a lot of these other kind of themed races.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned about her because I'm part of this running and walking club that meets every week. Once a month. We meet once a month. And we've got people who run. We've got people who jog. We've got people who run 6Ks there. 10Ks, 5Ks, walk with the stroller the whole time, walk to the playground and play with their kids. But we all kind of support each other. And there's always fun raffle prizes afterwards. And it's we just all meet together in the Pacific City area where the Pacific City shopping center is. And so Karen Ware has donated a number of races that were raffled off. And she's actually come to a few of those monthly meetings as well. And so I went to do this Pirate 5K. And what was amazing is, you know, a lot of these races have age ranges of like by 5 years, right? Mm-hmm. So 45 to 49. And I was at the very oldest end of the age range, right? And this year, now that I just turned 50, I get to be at the youngest end of the age range. So I'm kind of excited about that. But shockingly, I was like absolutely in disbelief. I actually got third place in my age group, which I couldn't believe my ears.
Love
like
that.
I didn't get a picture of myself on the podium because I was so in shock and I didn't have anyone there with me.
Oh no.
But I
we'll
still
recreate
have
it next time we see you at a race.
It was so thrilling and exciting to just like something that I didn't expect.
That's incredible. And I love what you said a few minutes ago about, you know, when you were a kid, if you, you know, told your kid self that you'd be running these races, I don't know about you, but, you know, in grade school, they would make you run. I don't even think it was a full mile. And I was that kid. And I think actually a lot of runners that I've talked to recently can relate to this. I was that kid. I hated it. Hated it. Right. There's always that. I know there was we had an interview with Lauren Kirshner a couple months ago, and she was the kid who loved it. Right. She was the kid who, like, you know, she went off running. She loved cross country. She did all that stuff when she was younger and was quite talented and still is very talented in running. That was not me. Like, I got the instant side stitch. I was already unknowingly dealing with autoimmune diseases at the time, but like the idea to then go from this elementary kid school or elementary kid, elementary school kid who just couldn't stand running to like now all these races and you've done 7 5Ks and you just placed third in your age group. I mean, it's, there's something incredibly inspiring. And when you layer that, Debbie, it's like there's an elevation to when you go, oh, wait a second, you're doing all of this while you're dealing with the management and the treatment of, at this time, an active autoimmune condition. Like you are not yet in remission.
You know, something that you said to me actually kind of resonates when you're talking about this, because I think that at that age, I really was not good at sitting in discomfort. Mm. And this is something we kind of talked about before, but like, I think that I am better at doing that. I'm not saying I love it, right? But I can push through it more now at this age and kind of sit with it. And running is, for me, like pushing through discomfort, right? Like, it's like, I don't like love doing it. It's a challenge.
Right.
It's hard. And especially on days where, you know, I had to do it after work all day and sure. I just need to get in that run because I'm doing a training program towards my next 5K, or I'm just not feeling great, or I just had infusions all right. week, and a run that's only a few days after
right.
a series of infusions. And
yeah, you have to adjust your training too, very much more so than just your general, you know, couch to 5K program or something that a trainer might give you. You really have to adjust what you're doing based on whether you're in the middle of treatments or you're having one of those days. It's like, nope, this is a couch day. This is not a push myself out of my comfort zone day.
Exactly. And I think there's a time, you know, there have been times where even at that, the Pacific Coast Walking Running Club that I'm talking about, there have been times where it was infusion week before. And so if I have to fast walk little parts of it, it's okay. Cause, forward is a pace, as Robin Arzón says, right?
So it's forward like, forward is a pace.
Forward
oh,
is a pace.
I love that.
So just keep going. And of course there are times where I can see my mind just wanting to start to walk for a minute. And there are times where I listen and I take it. And then yep. there are times where I say a mantra in my head and kind of to get me through that minute where I want to walk so I can just keep running. And my dad actually started running about my age. My dad ran a marathon and a number of half marathons. Actually, I think he's run more than one marathon and a number of half marathons. He's 82 now. And honestly, he jogged until not that long ago. He still goes on walks with the dogs and he has had, you know, a knee replacement, hip replacements, but he is still very active mm-hmm. for an 82-year-old man. But
movement's key.
If you go slow enough, you can run the whole time, no matter how long it is.
So you know? You've had, shout out to your dad. I love that. I love that he keeps moving. I think that's an incredible inspiration for not just you and your family, but everybody. And so, you know, as you've layered your running journey with this autoimmune condition, you know, you're facing challenges with that. You're also facing challenges with potential other setbacks, right? Which when I often, and we've talked about this, like there's this resilience and perseverance that is thrust on you, right? With AI conditions. And so when quote unquote regular injuries happen, there's another level that we're able to find. So I'm just curious, have you had any setbacks along the way? And have you, you know, how do you deal with these potential injuries or a flare up?
Absolutely. So, I mean, now that I'm in a place where I'm not having flares, it's a lot easier for me to like assess whether the physical actions I'm doing are leading to a flare or not. So what happened is when I started having these rashes back in April, one of my nurses said, you know, your body doesn't know the difference between the stress of intense workouts and like other kinds of stress. So at that time,
100% I was doing like, that,
right? I was doing all these extra strength workouts because, Callie Gillickson is like one of the Peloton people that I really like. And she had kind of a month plan of all this, you know, different strength workouts. And I was doing that. So I had really increased the intensity and the frequency and length of strength workouts I was doing. Mm. And I had this rash. And so I did listen to what my nurse was saying, kind of pull back on that and say, you know what I was doing before, which is like 3 10 to 20 minute strength workouts a week and 3 cardio things about 30 minutes each wasn't giving me a flare. I'm going to kind of pull back. And now that I am flare free, I've actually at this point kind of upped my running where I'm actually running 3 times a week instead of 1 30 minute session a week. And I haven't had a flare. So it's always that balancing act of listening to your body and knowing what, and sometimes you don't know what's too much until something happens, right? And the other part, which is the injury part you mentioned, I actually did have an injury. I was running this Malibu race that was actually the first year of that race. This year I'm doing the Golden State race, the Golden State Challenge race that's in Malibu. But basically what happened is I had strained like a ligament on my ankle a few weeks before that. And so it was kind of hurting me. I don't even know what I did, but kind of by the end of running 1 week, it kind of was sore and then it just kind of was hurting. I went to the doctor, they did an x-ray, there was no break. And she basically just told me, don't do any running for 2 weeks. And then you should be good for the 5K because I had this 5K 2 weeks from then. So I didn't run at all during those 2 weeks. I felt great going into the 5K. The day before I was there, I was, you know, feeling great. I was kind of just testing my ankle. Everything felt okay. And then the morning that I got up to go to the race, I had to wake up really early because you had to park super early because there's like one parking lot and it's, you know, we had to get up super early. And my husband was there with me. And all of a sudden the morning of the race, it did not feel great. Mm. Of course I was going to run, right? Because I took some Tylenol and let me tell you, it was rough. It made it worse. And you can tell in one of the videos that I'm compensating because it really was hurting by the end of the race, like pretty bad. And I was like, I need ice.
Right.
And I kind of went back to the doctor and basically they said, you need to lay off it for a month.
Oh my goodness.
So I couldn't run for a month. And then.
And you just found this sport. You're like, I just, you know, there's this outlet. There's this, you know, you've spoken often of, there's this inspiration of what my body can do, right? We've talked about this. This is something I spoke a lot about when I was doing press last year for the Two Halves, Two Coasts, 2 Days of like, yes, I have an autoimmune disease or 4, and I can do hard things. I can still push myself. I can still do, you know, big challenges. And actually that's something that makes the journey of managing all of this actually more fulfilling. There's a word that's not coming to me right now, but you know, yay on live radio, but
yeah, appreciating it more.
Right. There's just an appreciation for it more because you're like, wow, this is something I can still do this. I'm still capable.
Absolutely. Like I think when you can't do it right, then you kind of miss it because it's this outlet for stress and for strength. And it really took me, so that race that I just mentioned, the Malibu one, which was, that was at the end of October. To be honest with you, it probably wasn't until last month's Pacific Coast Run Walk group that I felt like I could finally run the entire 5K without walking.
I love that. I love that. And on that note, running the entire 5K without walking, that's what we're going to do during this break, is we're going to run through the break without walking, and we'll be right back with more from Debbie.
You have been listening to Finish Line Moments with your host, Gretchen. The following show is brought to you in part by
TBE Architecture, license number C35917. For information, TBEARCH.com or call 934-1000.
Sonoma Splash. Check us out at sonomasplash.org.
KSBY Sonoma 91.3 FM is thrilled to invite the entire community to celebrate 21 years of independent, volunteer-driven, and community-focused radio with an all-day Vibe and Thrive 2025. It's a community happening Tuesday, April 1st. This milestone coincides with Community Radio Day in Sonoma Valley, making it a true celebration of local voices, music, and public service broadcasting. KSBY's Vibe and Thrive 2025 Open House will welcome listeners, supporters, and newcomers alike to visit the station throughout the day to meet the hosts, experience live broadcasts, enjoy food and drink, and be a part of the thriving KSBY community. With a lineup throughout the day on the radio of special programming, guest interviews, live music, DJ sets, and the Bedazzler Broadcaster Awards. The celebration will showcase the diverse and essential role of community radio in Sonoma Valley and beyond. Whether you drop by in person or tune in to 91.3 FM or stream at ksby.org, Vibe and Thrive 2025 promises to be a dynamic celebration of independent radio and the people who make it possible. And keep listening to KSBY for more Vibe and Thrive 2025.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. SchoenGroup.com. This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
Your mother was right. Eat your vegetables. Fruits and vegetables are important to our health, and the growing season brings so many fresh varieties to enjoy. They can help reduce the risk of obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and some cancers. They also provide important vitamins, minerals, and fiber that keep our body healthy and strong. Try to include 2 servings of fruit and 3 servings of vegetables each day. A serving size is around 1/2 cup.
It's coming soon, and KSBY and Sonoma TV will be there filming the entire event. And I'm speaking of the one and only Jack London Yacht Club Jack to Jack Yacht Race, happening on Saturday, March 29th. There's been a lot of rain, so guaranteed the river will be rolling. All happening at the Jack London Saloon, Glen Ellen. Rain or shine, high waters or rivulets, everyone's welcome. Family, friends, neighbors, and newcomers. And it's free. It's a community happening for the benefit of the Valley of the Moon community, with many ways to contribute. For all the race day details, go to jacklondonyachtclub.org/jacktojackrace-1. Don't miss it. It's an exciting experience. That's March 29th, the annual Jack to Jack Yacht Race.
And now back to Gretchen and Finish Line Moments.
Welcome back to Finish Line Moments, everybody. I can't believe we're already into the third segment here with Debbie. I'm so glad that you're with us, Debbie, here on 91.3 KSVY, Sonoma's Voice of the Valley. And this is Finish Line Moments, and we are closing out our series on March being Autoimmune Disease Awareness Month with Debbie Parrott. I'm going to start with calling you a runner from Southern California, who also is a high school teacher and also happens to be doing all of this with an autoimmune disease diagnosis of a couple of years. And one of the things you said in our previous segment, you know, in the first segment, we talked about your autoimmune disease diagnosis, and then we dove into with enthusiasm your running journey. And there was this phrase that you said about forward is a pace. I love that so much. And, you know, you have achieved a lot already in your running goals. But what other aspects have you found of your life have you found to be vital in maintaining your health and your peace of mind during this journey? Because it is a lot to manage for those who haven't been through something like this before.
Absolutely. So just to close out the running journey, I wanted to mention 2 last things. One was the craziest race I got to do was actually a Wild Rivers race that...
I mean, just the name alone, I want to do it.
Wild Rivers race that I won in... Actually, Annie won it in the raffle and wasn't able to go and gave it to me. And let me tell you, you had the option of running through one of the Wild River things
And during Annie, the race. Annie's the teacher that got you.
Annie's my friend, okay. Yep, that inspired me to run. And so I got to actually have for part of the race running through water, which was
amazing.
A blast.
I mean, super a little fun. Wet once you get out of the river, and then you're like
kind of. You kind of can't care about your time.
Right. No, you're not caring about your time because you got anchors on your feet, but exactly. You got to dry a few clothes out. But it sounds like a blast.
And then last but not least, this is actually a book that same friend got me as one of my birthday gifts when I turned 50.
So Debbie's, she's pulled up a book on our Zoom screen. Yeah.
It's Walk, Run, Soar by Dorena Gilmore Young. And it's actually kind of this spiritual running, training, devotional book that has like weekly kind of like little devotionals and then kind of a training program for whatever a length race you want to do. So I just kind of am in probably the fourth week of this. And I had to kind of repeat the fourth week after infusions last week because infusions I can't run during infusions because of port access.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been a great thing to kind of get me training towards the next 5K. But when you mentioned the other parts of getting well, actually one of my friends at work, she is an amazing friend that is runs our bookstore. She actually mentioned this woman, Brooke Goldner, who has lupus and was very sick when she was young and, you know, was on like dialysis for her kidney. Her kidneys were basically shutting down. And she eventually sort of learned about how diet can affect your wellness in autoimmune diseases particularly. And so she told me about her. So I started kind of following her on Instagram. She, her Instagram username is Goodbye Lupus, but she's also written a number of books about getting rid of autoimmune disease and lupus and other things. And part of that is about hypernourishment.
What that is
getting like hyper amounts of the nourishment from like greens. So she's like a huge proponent of having like these green, like super green smoothies, like every day.
Mm-hmm.
And packing like 2/3 of the smoothie being the greens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drinking a ton of water because people who have autoimmune diseases need much larger amounts of water than you would think.
Yes, ma'am.
To kind of keep everything flushed and like working to optimal condition and not having flares. She talks about things like obviously your mindset, attitude, positive thinking, kind of being able to get out and kind of express through journaling or whatever you need to any feelings of like anger so you're not keeping them in, and self-care. And for me, you know, that self-care looks like, you know, taking a bath and lighting a candle and having like plants around, you know, around my bathtub. It looks like when it's hot enough, going around the harbor. I live in Southern California near Huntington Harbor and Huntington Beach. And we have this little dinghy boat and with a electric motor, and sitting on that boat and just kind of cruising around the harbor is absolutely like my happy place. And that's a way of practicing self-care. For me, meditating is a huge piece of the puzzle. I don't do it as consistently as I should. But I, especially if I'm having any kind of even mild anxiety, I really go to my meditation. So like there's, some daily meditations that I just like in the morning, it's like a 10-minute meditation. I'll just put that on, listen to it. And it kind of sets my intentions for the day and really, really helps with managing anxiety. And of course, stress is a huge thing to, kind of keep under control when you have an autoimmune disease, because stress can really cause flares, right?
Absolutely.
And is a big piece of the puzzle. So even when I had anxiety in my 20s, when I first started experiencing anxiety, and I eventually was actually diagnosed with panic disorder, and I'm very curious to know how many people who have any kinds of anxiety diagnoses end up with autoimmune diseases. I'm curious about that.
Interesting. Yeah.
There's a genetic predisposition, but because we know stress is such a trigger,
right?
I'm curious about that. But even in my 20s, one of the things that I found really helped was physical movement.
Yep.
And that wasn't running for me, right? I was just going out on a walk, going outside, changing my environment, being in the sun and physically moving as I was kind of using positive affirmations in my mind. and talking to myself almost in my head, talking to myself like I was talking to a friend, right? Like in a way that you, because a lot of times we have negative thoughts and we would never say those things to our friend. But if you're kind of talking to yourself like you're talking to a friend and supporting them, like, you're doing a great job, you got this.
I love that.
That can be one of those other ways of practicing self-care that really can help on the day-to-day management of an autoimmune disease.
It's so incredible. I mean, yeah, no, believe me, I've been told many times if I talk to friends the way I talk to myself, oof, I wouldn't have any friends. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. You know, when you talk about the different components of how you create this, it's not just your physical health that you're taking care of, right? It's your mental health. It's your emotional health. It's, you know, it's the importance of having activities that bring you joy outside of even your physical health routine, which also brings you joy, clearly. And there, you know, we talk a lot about Finish Line Moments here, and there are so many things that you've said along the way on this show that, like, oh my God, that's a Finish Line Moment. Being able to be out in the harbor is a Finish Line Moment. Doing meditation, taking a bath with the candles, those are Finish Line Moments as much as your little literal, you know, finish line crossing a finish line, at your race. I'm curious, in just the few minutes that we have left, if somebody's listening right now that, you know, wants to take up running, and they've faced an autoimmune disease or two, or even maybe in the middle of diagnosis, or they've had it for years and they're just like, God, how do I even get started? What would you want them to know? What would you want them to take away from your journey, your experience?
I would just say, so a few things. In particular with running, I think just really be patient with yourself and just be proud of each step you take. Yep. Maybe that's starting at running, like jogging really slowly for 10 minutes. Maybe that's basically for 20 minutes, you're spending 5 minutes jogging and then 5 minutes fast walking and then 5 minutes jogging and 5 minutes fast walking. Like that is a great way to start. And, you know, as you adjust. So I think just giving yourself grace and being patient and being proud of each thing that you can accomplish as it increases, and that you're not competing against anyone except yourself.
Right. I often say the first part of I have a 3-part mantra, and the first one is every step is a gift.
Absolutely. Just that I feel well enough that I can my body can do that. My grandfather always used to say things like that, like your health is everything, right? Mm-hmm. Because you know, you see everything through that window of health. If you don't feel good, you know, then that impacts everything that you do. And he was a vitamin proponent, and it's true. So I think just be proud of what your body can do. Yeah.
And you've talked about that, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I have this stuff going on and I can do this. And that's the thing that keeps you signing up for races.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I think in a bigger picture way, like many people, I'm a little bit of a control freak. I don't like that there are so many things outside of my control, right? I'm a teacher, right? And we plan, but there's lots of things outside of your control. Mm-hmm. I'm a mother of teenagers, a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a stepson that's 28. And my teenagers, you know, they're making their own decisions, and I'm there as an advisor, but that's changed. And so with the disease in particular and all of those things, hormonal shifts going on, all those things, what I've really learned is kind of to let go of expectations that things are going to go a certain way that you kind of envision. Like for me, I was like, okay, only this many more days until my infusions are done.
That changes. Yeah, sure.
Or only this many more days till I'm completely done with treatment. Yep. Right. I thought it's going to be 2 years. Well, guess what? It's going to be 3 years.
Right.
Almost 3 years.
Right.
Because you don't know what's going to happen. And so just kind of rolling with it as much as you can and just like enjoying your living in the meantime and not like focusing on the end goal, but more focusing on like right now, what brings me joy. And for me, another thing that brings me joy is singing. I love that. I sing in my church choir and I love it. That is something that, yes, sometimes I'm tired and I have to summon up the energy to go to my 7:30 to 9 p.m. rehearsals every Thursday. But that really brings me joy. And it's finding those things that bring you joy amidst the challenges.
I love that. Finding the things that bring you joy amidst the challenges. Debbie, you could not have been a more perfect guest for us to close out this March Being Autoimmune Disease Awareness Month series here on Finish Line Moments on KSVY 91.3. Really quick, where can people find you if they want to see some of your inspirational messages?
Oh, goodness. Okay, so I'm on Instagram. My teacher account is at Parrots Class. So it's the at sign @ParrotsClass. And I post a lot of my running things on there as well.
Awesome.
Of, you know, kind of inspiring my students, and they inspire me. So that's where you can find me.
That's incredible. And, you know, as y'all are thinking about wellness and running and your health journey, I want you to think about some of the forward is a pace and the different inspiration that Debbie shared with us. I love this hyper-nourishment concept and letting go of control a little bit as best we can, and having grace and patience with ourselves first, because the more we have with ourselves, the more we can give to others. So in these last few seconds, again, thank you all for listening to this special series this month here on KSVY. Thank you so much, Debbie. Thank you to Dr. Jane Buckner, Audrey Fisher, and Andrea Wingert, who joined us for this series. Don't forget, next week is our 21st birthday. What's your finish line today? Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tuesday, the 25th of March, 2025, we are KSVY, April 1st, our open house, Vibe and Thrive 2025. We hope to see you here. We've got a beautiful day today, a warm one too, lots of sunshine, the high about 84 degrees, nary a cloud in the sky. Tonight, some patchy fog invades after 3 a.m., partly cloudy, low around 50, with early morning patchy fog on Wednesday, cooling off to 67, with partly sunny, partly cloudy skies. Chance of rain, though, Wednesday night, with mostly clouds, low around 46. That chance of rain continues on Thursday with partly sunny skies in the afternoon and the high near 62. Some clouds Thursday night, low around 42, no rain.
Con el paso de los años, quizás le recetaron opioides después de su cesárea o después de la lesión en la espalda de un familiar. Usted aún los tiene en su hogar, por si acaso. Pero quedarse con los opioides que sobraron pone a su familia en peligro. Los problemas con los opioides pueden comenzar en casa con los medicamentos no utilizados, como pastillas, parches y jarabes. Aprenda a cómo eliminar el riesgo en www.fda.gov/deshacerse de medicamentos.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Being wrong. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. A field day for the heat, a thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
KSVY Sonoma.
programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by
The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. The Schoen Group is affiliated with Sotheby's International Realty. Our goal is to be your realtor consultant and representative for many generations to come. For information and guidance regarding wine country real estate, you may contact us at 707-933-1515 or visit schoengroup.com.
On Thursday, April 17th at 7 p.m., Sonoma Petaluma Parks will host C.W. Bayer presenting his lecture and concert, Seeing the Elephant, Gold Rush Mining Culture as Seen Through Song. Musician, historian, and radio personality C.W. Bayer brings his 1860s banjo to the Mission to talk about and sing a series of Gold Rush-era songs from the far west. What was mining culture, and how did it define the Western hero? Where did it begin? Where did it go? How did it help shape the West? The songs C.W. Bayer brings are often humorous, and they reveal a Gold Rush reality that today is little known. The lecture begins at 7 p.m. at the Sonoma Mission Chapel, 114 East Spain Street, Sonoma. Doors open at 6.